Hello and welcome to our reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. It's Pentecost, the day we remember the coming of the Holy Spirit, God once again entering into the world, showing his love for us by remaining with us at all times. The account of the events of Pentecost are recorded in Acts chapter 2, and we're going to read sections of the story as I highlight some of the things that I think are important for us to note. So firstly, reading from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound, like the blowing of a violent wind, came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they had heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? How then is it that each of us hear them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Whenever I read the story of Pentecost, I am always awed by the sheer power and majesty of the coming of the Holy Spirit. The disciples were sitting there together in Jerusalem, just as Jesus had told them to. I imagine they were beginning to get worried. Jesus had told them to expect his Father's gift of the Holy Spirit, and yet they were still waiting. Over a week later, and nothing had happened. And then, as they sat there that day, it happened. A sudden sound of the roaring of rushing wind coming from seemingly nowhere, and fire coming down and then separating out to come to rest upon them. It must have been an amazingly powerful and probably initially quite a terrifying experience. It truly must have been awe-inspiring for the disciples and also to anyone who witnessed it. I think it's important for us to pause and just take note of the power of the Holy Spirit in this moment. Lots of us find that out of the three persons of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, it is the Holy Spirit that we struggle to understand and connect with most. And because of this, we are often tempted to downplay the power and significance of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But this account truly demonstrates how amazing he is. The disciples heard the sound of a violent wind blowing. And as I was preparing for this reflection, I was sitting in my office, listening to the wind howling and roaring on the other side of the window. It felt quite apt that I could hear a powerful wind as I read about the Holy Spirit coming with the sound of a violent wind. There is such great symbolism here with the Spirit being likened to wind. In John chapter 3, verse 8, Jesus states, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." And that really demonstrates the power and the unfathomable nature of the Holy Spirit. No human can control how or where the Spirit moves. We cannot manipulate the things he does, nor can we predict it. The Holy Spirit coming in a demonstration of a powerful wind reminds the disciples and us that he is holy and powerful, and we should not even attempt to control him, but instead we should submit to his direction and guidance. So do we submit? Do we listen for the direction that he points us in? Or are we too busy trying to control our own paths? The imagery of wind is also significant, as we cannot see the wind. We can only see the effects it has. And this is true of the Holy Spirit. We cannot see the Holy Spirit, but we can certainly notice the effects he has on us, on others, and on the world in general. The disciples were certainly aware of the effect the Holy Spirit had on them and those around them as they invited him into their lives more and more. Do we also take time to notice the effect of the Holy Spirit on us and those around us because of his presence within us? Accompanying the sound of the wind was the tongues of fire that rested upon the disciples without burning them. Fire was a well-known Jewish symbol that signified God's presence. The Jews would have remembered the pillar of fire that led the Israelites out of Egypt and through the wilderness. And so the disciples would have recognized the fire that came to rest upon them as signaling God's presence was resting with them. Jesus promised that the disciples would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And through the Holy Spirit, the disciples began to speak in other languages, languages they did not know, languages they had not learnt. And this allowed them to communicate with all those who visited Jerusalem that day for the Festival of Pentecost, otherwise known as the Festival of Weeks or the Festival of Harvest. The Holy Spirit empowered those otherwise ordinary men to speak boldly, confidently and with authority to people in their mother language. God equipped these men from Galilee to proclaim the majesty of God to people in a powerful and miraculous manner. The reaction they received from the many of the crowd shows just how remarkable this was. Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? But this promise of the Holy Spirit is not just for the disciples, it's for us too. We also have the Holy Spirit resting upon us, dwelling within us. So let us not forget who dwells in us. It is God, the powerful Holy One, who comes with the power of rushing wind and eternal fire. When the Holy Spirit guides us, he also equips us with the power to achieve whatever he has planned for us, just as the disciples were filled and equipped for the task they had been set. So we've looked at the power of the Holy Spirit. But now I want to turn to looking at the influence of the Spirit. So I'm going to read this time from Acts 2, starting at verse 12 and going to 21, and then 37 to 41. Amazed and perplexed, the crowds asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No. This is what is spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to be to blood before the coming of that great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them and pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. So we're looking now at the influence of the Holy Spirit. And first there's the initial reaction. The crowd witnessed the power of the Spirit in the disciples, and the disciples spoke in their native languages. And the reaction was one of amazement. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" When we see the work of the Spirit, it leaves us in a state of awe and wonder as we realise how great God is. If we allow the Holy Spirit to work through us, he'll break into other people's lives as well and cause them to wonder, "What does this mean?" And this gives us an opportunity to witness to who God is and what he does in and through us by the Holy Spirit. Of course, not everyone will react with awe and wonder. When seeing and hearing the disciples speaking in other languages, some people took the chance to make fun, accusing them of being drunk. But even when faced with this opposition, the Holy Spirit worked to empower Peter to speak to the crowd. He disproved the accusation and then continued to speak God's word to the crowd. The way that the Holy Spirit worked in Peter is true for us too. When we face opposition and challenge, we tend to feel as if we have failed, or perhaps we worry that we won't have the right words to say. But instead, let's turn our eyes to God and allow the Holy Spirit to work through us to witness to who he is. The people we speak to may still choose to turn away from God, but God has used you to speak his words of truth and love. And we never know how those words may impact that person's life. Gifts from the Spirit. Peter foretold that the Spirit had come upon them like it was foretold. Peter demonstrated that the Spirit had come upon them like it was foretold. "Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams." What a powerful promise. And it's a promise that's for us too. The Holy Spirit causes us to have gifts far beyond what we could humanly imagine. Allow yourself to be influenced by his power and to accept the gifts that he offers you. He can and will do mighty things through you for the glory of God. God is generous in equipping us with the tools, the gifts we need to do his work. He never calls us to something that he also doesn't equip us for. He never calls us to something that he doesn't also equip us for, is what I meant to say. He will always provide what is needed for the things he calls us to. When we receive a gift from the Holy Spirit, it's not for us to keep to ourselves and feel sort of smug that we have been blessed by God. Instead, we are to use his gifts to follow him, to serve him more and more. So let us continue to celebrate and praise God by dedicating ourselves to him. But of course, the most amazing influence of the Spirit is the influence of bringing people to salvation, of causing people to turn to God and accept his invitation of grace and love. Peter quoted from the prophet Joel saying, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And this was what the disciples witnessed at that moment. After Peter had finished speaking, we are told, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" The Holy Spirit worked through Peter's words and touched the hearts of people in the crowd. They realized that what Peter was saying was true, and they needed to respond to the message. And so they questioned the disciples, "What shall we do?" Peter immediately responded with, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Through the power of the Spirit, the disciples were able to draw the crowd's attention to the invitation from God to be made right with him again and to be welcomed into his family. We are also given the Spirit so that we can draw people to God to help them see that wonderful invitation that is for them as well as it is for us. And the wonderful result of the Holy Spirit working on that day of Pentecost was that those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Can you imagine what that must have been like, to see thousands of people committing themselves to God and becoming baptized at that very moment? The Holy Spirit is incredibly powerful and influential. He makes an impact on the world that we cannot even begin to imagine. So my challenge for you today is, will you let the Holy Spirit have full control to do whatever he wants to do in and through your life? Amen.